Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Good morning. So good to be here. So good to see lots of familiar faces. Thanks to Megan, I'm sure she's watching online, she's got nothing better to do on a holiday, for the invitation to come and share today with you. I've had the privilege, as was mentioned, of a long involvement here at Prison Fellowship, Deep Creek, and Prison Fellowship, and in fact, the connection between this church and Prison Fellowship has gone on for many, many years too. During this week, I did a deep dive into our work server, and I found the very original PowerPoint presentation put together by Richard Whaley, for those of you that know him. You'll probably get an idea of his IT skills by watching this, but the very first camp for children of prisoners that Prison Fellowship ran in Victoria was instigated from this church through Sharon, who many of you know, and through the young adults here. So you might see some familiar faces on these slides. There's Bob Brown hiding under a hat, helping a child along the ladder rope there, a rope ladder there. Ash Smith helping some young people up a climbing wall. Jerry George. So this was down in Anglesey in 2005, just 18 short years ago. So there's some familiar faces perhaps for some of you. Beck Mower, Bob and Lynn as camp parents. So there we go. So thank you for being the church that instigated this part of Prison Fellowship's ministry all those years ago. I love the fact that Prison Fellowship partners with local churches across this country, including obviously Deep Creek, and your support through volunteering, through your missions giving, through prayer support are testament to your heart for those who are behind bars. I want to start this morning with a story. Brendan entered a local juvenile detention centre on Good Friday to skate with young offenders. As a sponsored skateboarder and a Prison Fellowship volunteer, Brendan asked Danny if he was ready to go skating. "I can't," said Danny. He pulled his hand out of his hoodie pocket to reveal a bandaged hand. "What happened?" "Well, last night I got really angry with my situation. I started hitting the wall." Brendan said, "Bro, you're never going to win that fight. That wall's made of concrete." Danny described blood spattering everywhere and the intense pain in his hand. He said, "The nurse had a look at it, said I broke two small knuckles and pushed them back into my hand about 2 centimetres, and I broke the bone on the side of my hand as well. She said I needed major surgery, otherwise it would heal broken." Brendan says, "Danny, I know you did this out of anger and it's self-inflicted, but would you mind if I prayed for you?" "That's not going to do anything," Danny laughed. Brendan was unfazed. "Well, I've seen incredible things already, and I know God loves you and he would love the opportunity to show you." So Danny gave the go-ahead and Brendan sat down with him and 3 other incarcerated young people and began to pray. A couple of moments later, "Bro, stop," says Danny. "What are you feeling?" He said, "It's like a firecracker is going off in my hand." Brendan said, "Well, some people feel strange sensations when God is healing them. God is answering our prayers." The group continued to pray and Brendan encouraged Danny to test his hand. "See, I told you I couldn't." And then Danny stopped mid-sentence. His fingers began bending. And there was still some pain. The group began to pray again and Danny could now make a whole fist. He said, "Bro, I couldn't even wiggle my fingers a second ago. I could feel that the knuckles were 2 centimetres back and now they're in the right spot." Danny was astounded and he pressed on the side of his hand where the last bone was broken and he yelped in pain. "See, I told you it didn't work." Brendan was untroubled. "No, I told you that God loves you and he wants to show you. Let's pray again." And they prayed and Brendan told Danny to push on that bone again. Danny's face couldn't contain the shock. He was so amazed he started swearing and then punching things. He unwound the bandages and checked out his restored hand. The prison staff watching on had their jaws on the floor. "You know it's Easter, right?" Brendan said. "At Easter, Jesus died on the cross for you and for me, and through his death, victory was made perfect. He rose again to resurrect us out of the grave because we're all destined for death and destruction and separation from God. He wants to restore us and give us new life." At this, some of the kids asked, "Can you pray for our addictions?" And three young people sat side by side as Brendan prayed for their hearts and for their addictions. He prayed that God would set them free from their burdens and bondage. And a few weeks later, one of them asked Jesus to be part of his life. Heard the story this morning read to us about Jesus announcing his ministry, launching his ministry. He returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went to the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. So the scroll of Isaiah, probably a foot wide, probably 20 feet long, rolled up, handed to Jesus. Of all the places that he could have opened that scroll to, he chooses Isaiah 61. Of all the places he could have chosen to announce his ministry, this is right at the start of Jesus' ministry. "I've been sent to proclaim good news to the poor. I've been sent to proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." It's a significant statement at the start of Jesus' ministry to say, well, this is what my ministry is going to be about. I still believe that one of the greatest mission fields we have in Australia is right here in our own backyard. And more than ever, I believe that the church in Australia is called to this mission field. Prison Fellowship exists to heal the brokenhearted, to reach out to those who are poor and in need, to share Jesus with the lost and broken world, and to release captives into freedom. I came to Prison Fellowship about 18 years ago when I was still youth pastor here at this church to develop our work with children of prisoners. Sharon had just run the very first camp with all those awesome young adults from Deep Creek, and I came on the very next year in 2006 to help continue that. And many of those leaders continued to lead on that camp for years and years after that. I think we as a group learnt very quickly that these children behaved quite differently to those in our middle-class, comfortable youth ministry that we're running here at Deep Creek. And that the reason for that had a lot to do with where their parents were. For the past 18 years, I've had a number of different roles, but my heart has always been to see these children, their parents, victims, and all those affected by crime know God's love in a real way. So why does Prison Fellowship exist? We exist because of a guy called Chuck Colson. His story reads a little bit like a Hollywood movie script. The early 70s, Chuck Colson was former top aide to President Richard Nixon in the States. He ended up voluntarily pleading guilty to obstruction of justice in the Watergate scandal, and he served 7 months as a new Christian in Alabama's Maxwell Prison. In his best-selling book, Born Again, Chuck writes this: "I found myself increasingly drawn to the idea that God had put me in prison for a purpose, and that I should do something for those that I had left behind." And so Prison Fellowship was born. He mobilised the Christian church to minister to prisoners. So in 1976, Prison Fellowship became a reality, and it's now the world's largest outreach to prisoners, ex-prisoners and their families. Chuck Colson died in 2012, but his legacy continues. Prison Fellowship now exists in 118 countries around the world, again, working alongside local churches to see this ministry realised to prisoners. So Prison Fellowship's vision here in Australia is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with prisoners and their families. So what does that look like in Australia? There's 43,000 prisoners in Australia at the moment. About 7,000 of those are in Victoria. Numbers are even higher if you consider those in juvenile justice. Of those 7,000 in Victoria, only 4,000 are sentenced. The other 3,000 are on remand, waiting their day in court. Interestingly, during COVID, we saw lots of the opportunistic crimes drop significantly. However, instances of domestic violence increased significantly as well. Indigenous people in Australia are incarcerated at 15 times the rate of non-Indigenous. That means that for people like me, 146 people are in prison for every 100,000. If you're Indigenous, 2,253 for every 100,000. So how do we respond to that obvious need that exists? Prison Fellowship's passionate about the church helping to reach this community. We primarily partner with Christian churches of all denominations in all states and territories in order to fulfil the mission God has given us to proclaim freedom for prisoners. So firstly, we love the church to pray with us for prisoners and their families, as Bob did this morning. We know that there's actually a spiritual battle going on for the lives of many inmates. We see the pain of brokenness in their past, from childhoods in dysfunctional families, from addictions, from their own poor choices. But we also know that God is at work and that he can and will achieve more through us as we fully rely on him. So we'd love you to join us in prayer. There's a weekly short prayer email that goes out every week from the Victorian office that gives you one prayer point that you can pray for each day for this ministry. Secondly, we encourage Christians to support the work that we do by partnering financially. And I know there is many people in this congregation who do that. We are an extension of the church, ministering the gospel in some of our community's darkest places. We want to maintain that gospel vision. That's really important to us. And therefore, we're not government funded. The support for everything we do comes from Christian donors. So if you'd like to help us in this mission, then you can fill out one of those cards that you would have seen on your chair as you came in today. Thirdly, I'd love for you to get involved in this amazing ministry. There's obviously a rich history in this church of being involved. Over 700 Christian men and women from churches all over the country give their time to visit prisoners, to run in-prison programs, to run courses, to write letters to inmates, to mentor the children of offenders, to help in our office, which is really conveniently located in Doncaster. We are primarily a volunteer movement of God's people. Just so you know, for those 700-odd volunteers, there's only about 20 staff around the country. So we do see ourselves as a volunteer movement, and we'd love you to get involved if God is putting this calling on your heart. If you'd like to go in and visit, or if you'd like to get involved in the camp. As Bob prayed, there's a youth camp happening in Taggarty on the 24th to 26th of November. And so I've got some flyers out there at the table. We'd love for you to consider, would you like to lead on that? Would you like to carry on the legacy of some of those sprightly young people on that PowerPoint slide and volunteer with the next generation of young people who are growing up with a parent in prison? I'd love to chat with you about that afterwards. Everything the Prison Fellowship does, whether inside or outside prison walls, is about helping people find true freedom in Jesus. God's call for all of us is that we are to be free, free from sin, free from anything else that would cause us worry, anxiety, hold us back for his best for our lives. As he says, he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. You don't have to be in prison to be oppressed. There are so many things in our world that can hold us down. God's intent for us is to live as free people. That's an amazing claim. Jesus is the one, the only one, actually, that can truly set us free. And God makes that clear over and over and over again in his word. Galatians 5 says, "For you were called to freedom. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit to the yoke of slavery." Jesus' famous quote in John, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Even in Psalms, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me and set me free." They're powerful and beautiful verses. God's desire is for all of us to live in freedom. For you, for me, for prisoners, for their families, for everybody. So can I encourage us today to live as God intended us to live? Free from sin and bondage, free from addiction, free from worry, anxiety, stress, free from the expectations of others. And then not only for ourselves, but Jesus asks us to help others find that freedom through him. So if we fast forward from the start of Jesus' ministry and go right towards the end of Jesus' ministry, we read in Matthew 25, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you and thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did for me.'" We can be the hands and the feet that help others experience God's incredible freedom. Chuck Colson reflects on this passage and he said, "We will be judged in part by the way we treat those in prison. The fact that a man has committed a crime and is paying the price does not mean that he forfeits his God-given dignity." So we have this bookending of Jesus' ministry. We have the start, Luke 4, Jesus announcing his ministry. And we have at the end, Matthew 25, Jesus reiterating what his ministry has been about. It's extraordinary. Jesus' ministry is all about the outcast, the forgotten, the hungry, the thirsty, the hurting, the sick, the lonely, the smelly, the inconvenient. I remember several years ago going in with our Slam Sports basketball team. If you're interested in basketball, we've got a new team just forming for some great guys in Ringwood. They're going to be going in semi-regularly playing basketball and sharing about Jesus in the prisons. So if you're interested in playing some sport, then there's a great way to get fit and share the gospel at the same time. I'd gone in with our team many years ago and we played this game against a group of inmates. One of our volunteers had shared his testimony, his story about Jesus. And afterwards, we had some time just to hang out with these inmates. And I met Ben. Ben was an outlaw motorcycle gang member. And I listened to Ben's story. And he was talking about his experience with drugs, gangs, crime. And I went, that sounds exactly like my time at Deep Creek. No, I can't relate. I can't relate to this at all. Like, nothing in my history kind of connects with this. But what we did have in common is we just played a game of basketball together. And there was this connection. And then someone had shared a story about why on earth you would voluntarily give up a Saturday to go in and play sport with inmates. And it was about being motivated by their faith. And so I had this time where I was with Ben, where there was almost nothing that we had in common. This was a ministry to someone who, in my experience, I didn't have any kind of connection points with. And yet, as we talked, I was able to share something more of Jesus with him and show him some compassion and some mercy to reveal something of the light of the gospel and the freedom that Jesus offers to him. Psalm 68 says, "Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation." Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God places the lonely in families and he leads the prisoners to prosperity. So when God's in his holy habitation, when God's at home, he's passionate about these people, the fatherless, the widow, the lonely, the prisoner. So I think if we want to be where God is, then these are the people God calls us to be next to. Post-COVID, we're probably down about 20% of our volunteer force for a whole variety of reasons. But there are hundreds of prisoners and their families that Prison Fellowship isn't able to minister to at the moment because of either our financial capacity or volunteering capacity. So our vision is that one day, hopefully not too distant future, we're able to reach every prisoner in Australia with this message of God's love, hope and freedom. And so can I encourage you to seriously think about how you might engage with us, how you might help us to reach more guys like Danny and like Ben. One of the greatest experiences of my time with Prison Fellowship was standing in the middle of a maximum security prison and praying with a man who had just come to the end of every other option that he'd had. I'd gone in with a volunteer, we'd done visits around a couple of units, and we came to this guy in this prison unit who our volunteers knew. I was actually off chatting with another inmate and I got called over to this conversation. And I chatted with this guy and he said, "I've tried everything and it hasn't worked. I'm back in here for the 8th time." He said, "I get so determined to get out and to turn my life around and make it different. And I last for a little bit and then old habits and things catch up with me and I find myself back in here again." He said, "I'm like on this merry-go-round. Get out, things are going great, and then they crash and burn and I'm back in. I'm here for the 8th time." He said, "But this time, I don't know how they got in my cell, but I've been reading these two books." And he held up an Anglican prayer book and a Bible. And he said, "I think this Jesus guy might be what I need." And so, yeah, I had this amazing experience where the fact that there was all this other activity in the prison unit kind of blurred into the background, and I got to stand and pray with this guy, leading him in a prayer where he was able to find true freedom in Jesus. That's what this ministry is about, sharing God's love, sharing the freedom in Christ with those who perhaps don't have any other option. So thank you once again for having me. Thanks for your support of this ministry. Thanks for your care and your passion about this ministry, and may God bless you as you continue to do all the stuff that God's got for you. Let me pray for us as we finish tonight, this morning. Lord Jesus, we do thank you so much that you came with a message of freedom. That for us and for all people, there is a message of hope. There's a message of freedom that allows us to not be anxious, not worry, not care about the opinions of others, not be held back by addiction or sin, not be stuck on a merry-go-round of continuing to spiral downwards, but Lord, you give us hope. And so Lord, today we pray for those who are in prison. We pray for their families. We pray for all of those affected by crime. Lord, may all of those people find true freedom in you. In Jesus' name, amen.